This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday. Happy Football Friday to all of you. It is a Football Friday. It's draft weekend. Draft day number one, night one is in the books. It is great to be with you.
Yes.
God,
yes.
We got a lot to get to today.
There's so much.
We have a
poor
lot
Ben.
To get to.
You and I both have like 10 audio wish list items that Ben's...
We do. Gym. But I think Ben knows like draft night number one inherently is a very late night for the two of us. You know, like a lot of the good stuff that we're sending him was stuff that we didn't see till this morning.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, all the stuff that's circulating around out there. I got a whole dossier on Nick Saban. I don't know if we'll get to any of that today. He is because when I went home from your place, I watched the first, 10 or 15 picks
15
with you.
15 picks, yeah.
I watched the first 15 picks with you.
Yep.
I went home, and then I watched a different I watched the ABC broadcast.
Okay.
It had Herb Street.
Okay. That's where it was.
It was on ABC. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm watching.
Yeah, they're real hard to find. Which obscure network? ABC.
I'm watching.
ABC.
Okay. I'm watching, because you and I don't get to watch night one of the draft the way that we did last night very often, because there's a draft party
right.
where the Texans have a pick and we're working.
Yeah.
So I'm not completely, like, I'm a little rusty when it comes to, okay, which feed do I want to watch? So I'm watching ESPN before the draft on, like, SportsCenter, like a preview show, and I'm like, oh, cool, it's Reese Davis, it's Saban, it's Herb Street, I like this combo. And then the preview show flips over, and now all of a sudden it's Greeny, and it's... It's Booger.
And that's right. I know.
No disrespect to any of those guys, but they're not the front crew. And I'm going, okay, I guess Saban, and maybe they're throwing them all on the McAfee cast or something.
They tucked them away on ABC.
They tucked them away on the largest network of major broadcasting in the history of the world. Oh, okay. That's where they went.
It was Herb Street. I'll go from right to left. It was Herb Street, Saban, then it was Reese Davis,
Dude,
and then it was Desmond Howard.
That thing was sitting there the whole time. You and I are watching it. Why didn't you say anything?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know until I got home.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I just flipped it on, and I was going through the guide. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, I just clipped on.
Oh, my God.
They had a different tone to it a little bit, too. It was, you know, obviously, I thought they kissed Saban's butt a little too much, which is understandable. They're trying to make it as... Draft night's kind of an overwhelming thing to all of a sudden be doing... Like your network duties,
your debut
for the first time.
Saban and Belichick both.
Yeah,
Belichick was on the McAfee cast.
Yeah, and like both those guys, it's interesting. Those two guys together would be the dream team, because
I think
you've got Saban's college experience and expertise versus Belichick's pro expertise.
Worked with each other before, there'd probably be good chemistry.
Saban coached a total of 8 years in the NFL between he was with the Oilers back in the day as a defensive backs coach. Okay, so the biggest story, as it relates to the Texans, is that the overvaluation of the quarterback position has basically almost given the Texans a first-round pick. Anybody that didn't need a quarterback, so fine, go ahead and burn six picks at the top, and
six
we'll be
out of
just
the first
fine.
12 were quarterbacks.
So the Texans damn near basically, if you just pretend that those quarterbacks don't exist, they're up at the top of the second round already.
Well, we've been talking about that, how this draft is so offensive line-heavy at the top, It's so it was even more quarterback heavy than even we could have imagined.
Yeah.
The wide receivers that we knew the Texans were never going to be in on are pushing guys down. Also, guys like Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze are pushing guys down the board, pushing guys down the board. And as you and I are watching this unfold, I don't know that you and I watched a single defensive player get picked. You watched the first 14, 15 picks. In fact, we didn't. You left my place after pick 14. I texted you 3 seconds later. I'm like, Latu. You and I had a long conversation about Latu. I'm like, Latu just got picked.
So Oregon State, this is relevant to the Texans too. Oregon State took Fuaga, the offensive tackle.
Right.
And I told you, oh yeah, Fuaga's a good guy to watch if you want to say Leatu Latu. Yeah. Because Leatu Latu is one of the best edge rushers out there. But he had a neck injury in college that, like, you know the old expression, he wants to stick his neck in there. You don't want to stick your neck out. Right. He literally doesn't want to stick his neck out.
He
plays incredibly upright. Like, when anything other than rushing the passer, he just does not want any part to do with, like, really sticking his head into bad business. So he's not a very physical player, but he's an incredible pass rusher. I'm really intrigued by how he's going to do in the NFL versus the better offensive tackles.
He's on the Colts now.
He does. Yeah, so the Colts took him next.
Yeah.
So I told you, I think honestly, he got shut down by Fuaga.
Yeah.
Fuaga was just way stronger and more physical than him. So Latu is now the premier edge rusher for the Colts, and the Texans
like
will
that.
See him twice a year.
Yeah.
I think that the Texans' offensive tackles will handle him pretty easily.
Maul him, yeah.
Yeah.
So relevant here, Latu was the first defensive player taken. So back to the Texans, as far as how this first round played out, I don't think it could have played out any better for the Texans. Short of missing out maybe on a guy they wanted to trade back into the first round to get.
Yeah.
Reportedly, the Texans were one of several teams looking to get back into the first round. I don't think that's any surprise. That's almost like reporting that it's hot outside. You know what I mean? Like, Nick Caserio trying to maneuver to get somewhere in the draft because he sees something, to me, is not huge news.
Or at least, I like the way Figgy put it yesterday, which was he's looking for a sucker.
Like, maybe, yeah.
Figgy just said, is he... My take on what Figgy said, what I was thinking was, like, I don't know if try is the right word, but exploring.
Sure.
Exploring.
Sure. Sure. Enough for it to be reported that they're making phone calls. Didn't get back into the first round. Texans, as of right now, are still sitting at 42 and 59 today. That's kind of what I thought would happen. But the fact that 23 offensive players went in the first round, only 9 defensive play. This is what you need to know if you're just waking up right now. You didn't get to watch the whole thing of the draft or watch any of it last night. There were 23 offensive players taken in the first round of the draft. There were only 9 defensive players taken. There are a ton of guys on the board right now that I think you and I have talked about as possibilities for the Texans. There's guys on the board that we've talked about back when the Texans were at 23 that I would have never thought could be sitting there on day 2. Within striking range for the Texans to either get at 42 or trade one of these day 3 picks to move up 3 or 4 spots and get into, like, what you like to call that band of players. If Nick was trying to get back up into the first round of the draft last night, let's call it the back end of the first round, there's only one or two guys that went off the board in that chunk of the draft that I would even think, maybe the two corners that were there, Wiggins and then the kid that went to Detroit. Tarrion Arnold from Alabama.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was just more receivers and more offensive linemen and Chop Robinson, who I don't think they were going to be in on. You know, like, it's this first round for a team that didn't pick in the first round.
Yeah.
To me, the first round could not have played out any better for the Houston Texans.
I'll tell you what. One of our listeners tweeted at us, I think this morning, but basically said, not going to lie, having Tarrion Arnold still there at 23 when the Texans would have picked stung a little bit, because Tarrion Arnold goes 24 overall. Yeah. But the kid out of Alabama, I'm watching the Saban cast on ABC,
right.
And Saban was just gushing about Tarrion Arnold, who is Miss Terry's favorite player.
Oh, really?
Tarrion Arnold sits next to Saban in meetings. Like, it sounds like another Will Anderson.
Okay.
He sounds like you would have been another Will Anderson.
Maybe that's who they were trying to get.
That part stings a little bit. I bet they had their eyes on him. And, yeah, maybe there was a little bit of remorse when they saw that, okay, wow, Tarrion Arnold's still there and we could go up and grab him.
Who would you rather have? Okay, let's look at this situationally. Would you rather be coming in this morning saying that we've got Tarrion Arnold with the 23rd pick?
Yeah.
And you don't have Stephon Diggs? Or would you rather come in this morning and you have Stephon Diggs and you're sitting here at 42? Because that's the trade-off, right? It was the move down from 23 to 42.
Yeah.
And the answer may be Terrion Arnold.
I know. I'm just thinking, like, Terrion Arnold's... The scouting report I got from Nick Saban sounds decidedly a lot different than Diggs. Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, who was once unanimously voted by his teammates as the guy you wouldn't want to date your sister. Right. I feel like Terrion Arnold would win that in a landslide.
And beat
like
up Stephon and fend off Stephon Diggs.
Yeah,
in the
I feel
process.
Like people are like shouting at their sisters for not dating Terrion Arnold. Like, how could you not go out with him? Look at him.
Right.
He's awesome.
The real answer comes when we see what they do with 42 tonight.
Yeah.
Right? Because let's pretend they get Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold's teammate.
If that's what they're doing, if they go 42,
I'm just playing hypotheticals. Right.
If they stay at 42, right? But
even if they move up five spots and get him,
if they take Kool-Aid McKinstry, then that feels a little bit
better. McKinstry and Diggs for Terrion Arnold, 1 year of Diggs, you know. I like where they're at, but Terrion Arnold would have made a lot of sense right there. But even with Arnold on the board, it wasn't like I didn't look at Terrion Arnold like he's Derek Stingley Jr. or something like that, you know. So I at 23. This was always going to be my feeling. Like, I'll give you my full feelings on the Vikings trade when we get to 23 and see what's sitting there at 23 that could have been had. And Arnold's a good player. There were other good players there, too. But there were so many defensive guys still sitting there, knowing full well that there were going to be at least five or six teams from 23 to 32 that were going to be taking receivers and offensive linemen and things like that. 23 offensive players taken in the first round of the draft could not have played out any better for the Houston Texans.
And I think also what helps the Texans is, and we've got some audio from CJ Stroud, who was on a Bleacher Report podcast last night, or stream last night.
We watched a little of that.
That maybe hinted it. Depending on how much CJ actually knows about the Texans' intentions or not, he hinted that the Texans might be really in the market for a wide receiver. But the fact that so many of those, like, a lot of the promising wide receivers are still available, or at least a few of them. Enough that, if you look at cornerbacks, and whether it's, you know, Ennis Rakestraw or Kool-Aid McKinstry or several of those other guys, I think if the Texans want a cornerback, they're still there. The defensive tackles, because Johnny Newton especially fell out of the first round, there are a boatload of defensive tackles that I kind of lump all together that I think the Texans, I suspect they'll take a defensive tackle in the second round, but I think it'd be with their second one. Because
there's so many.
I'm guessing that, like, when you talk about bands of players, I'm guessing Nick has a lot of these guys kind of banded together in the defensive tackle group, and that there's still going to be a band of them available by the time they get down in late in the second
round. I think they also could move up from 86 with some of that, take some of those day three picks and move up from 86 into the second round and get somebody too. There's going to be maneuvering around. That would be my big advice if you're going to the draft party tonight. They're going to have big screens out there. Keep your head on a swivel because that Texans logo could pop up at the bottom of the screen at any time.
Yeah, that's as much as there
you
was...
keep your head on a swivel too on the broadcast, friend.
I kind of just tell. I let John Harris lead the way.
There you go.
You know, Johnny's so. I was listening to him as I was driving back from your place. And I actually ended up texting with him during a commercial break about Latu. Because John has the same concerns about him like as I do, which I like Latu. I love the kid. I think he's awesome. Like you'll seldom find a guy as polished as he is. Like you can tell he worked his butt off. But like he has this understandable concern that he had a neck injury that kept him out of football for 2 years, and he thought he might never play football again.
Right.
And he kind of plays like it.
Yeah.
Like so it's. I'm torn on that guy. But now that he's gone to the Colts.
Not torn anymore.
Now that he's gone to the Colts, I'm like,
he's trash.
This kid doesn't want it
enough.
Trash.
He's trash. He doesn't love football, this kid.
Yeah,
trash.
Doesn't love football.
Trash.
No, he is. Like, you'd want him to date your sister.
You would.
On the date your sister scale, he's up there.
He's the scale of 1 to Diggs in dating your sister.
That's my scouting report.
Diggs to 10. On
gentle
dating.
Lover.
Yeah.
Probably wants to wait until marriage. Yes.
Doesn't like to stick his neck in there, though.
Hey, okay. All right.
Football. This is
like, that's a little too far.
That is a little
okay,
graphic.
So.
That's true.
the best available player, if you just go like top five.
Well, let's get to it next.
Okay.
Let's get to it next. We'll
see
get
what
to
you're doing.
We'll get to the best available. putting the clamps on set.
See what you're up to.
Yeah. We'll get to some of the best available. We also got to get to the biggest story outside of the Texans from last night. Just because you sign a $180 million deal doesn't mean that you're a favored nation with the Atlanta Falcons, apparently.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we got to get
so much to talk
we got,
about.
I know, dude. We'll get to all of it, I promise, here. Payne and Pendergast, off and running on a draft day two here on Sports Radio 610.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast. If you're just getting into your car, you're just driving in, hopefully we see you at the draft party tonight.
Yeah, you think there'll be 275,000 people?
Like Detroit last night?
Supposedly. That's what they said on the broadcast.
270. I'll tell you what, as I was watching that, I'm like, man, Houston does big events really well, obviously. I mean, we've had multiple Super Bowls, multiple Final Fours, all kinds of big events here in town. I don't know that we're equipped to do, if they wanted the draft here,
yeah.
I don't know that we're equipped to do what Detroit did last night with that outdoor area there. That was an incredible spectacle last night.
Well, we haven't had nearly the same number of foreclosures in the last couple decades.
That's fair. They do have extra real estate. They knocked down some homes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They probably evicted some folks and just raised the city. I know that Detroit has rebounded all that.
Yep.
They get super sensitive when you talk about, you know, when they almost completely died as a city.
They get sensitive about the complete failure of the city they were for a while.
The economic failure that birthed 3,000 flip this
they're
house
not just totally
series
cool.
on. Yeah.
They're not just totally cool with guys like you and I making fun of that.
Yeah, no. They're like, yeah, that time grandma lost her home. They hate
that was hilarious.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there's some place they could do it. I'm guessing that wherever that is in Detroit, it's not like the Garden Center or whatever.
No. And the stage was temporary.
Was,
they have
there. It's a
setup. Badass stage.
They've really, I got to hand it to the NFL. They've really outdone them. So I thought making the draft a traveling road show, I was skeptical of that. And how stupid was I for that opinion?
About as stupid as you look with that hat on, actually, right now.
Whatever. Excuse me? I have to wipe all the female body parts out of my hair to hear what you're saying now. What's that?
Because the ladies love that big foam hat.
I've had four propositions since I put this hat on.
Seth's wearing, Ben doesn't count. Seth's wearing a big foam hat.
Ben discovered a fetish he didn't know he had.
Yeah.
Seth,
I'm feeling a different kind of way with Seth in that big foam hat. All right, let's get to the best available here for the Texans. These are names. I think I just went through like the ESPN best available after the night was over last night, Seth, and I just went kind of like there are some guys that are best available that I don't like. Jonathan Brooks is like 12th on the list, the running back from UT.
Yeah.
I don't think they're drafting. I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think they're drafting him.
He's the one that a lot of different draft experts like for they kind of break the mold for this year where running backs, nobody seems to respect running backs at all.
Yeah.
Jonathan Brooks is up there on a lot of lists.
So we'll see. I don't have him, but the best available in no particular order. I went by position, but, and I'm talking for 42 right now. You rattled off the corner. There are about a half a dozen cornerbacks that I think one of them will still be there at 42 if the Texans if the Texans like any of these guys, Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, the Rake Straw kid from Missouri, Lassiter from South Carolina, the TJ Tampa kid who I've seen mock to the Texans. That's five right there. So if you're somebody who wanted a corner, there's going to be a good corner there. The defensive tackles that I jotted down that were on that best available in that range for the Texans were two guys you mentioned in the open, Johnny Newton and from Illinois and Braden Fisk from Florida State.
Yeah, I think honestly, like I like Braden Fisk. I have some reservations about perhaps just how strong, like football strong he actually is, but I like his upside. But I kind of put him in the same bucket as Chris Jenkins. Maybe like they're a step above Michael Hall Jr. and Ruka Roro. But I like all those guys. If you're going for a more athletic guy with upside as a pass rusher. But then they also have the kid from Baylor, Gabe Hall.
Yep.
And then Mason Smith, the LSU kid, who are like bigger, more prototypically sized defensive tackles that, for whatever it's worth, those guys are a lot more like Eric Armstead, who the Texans did just try to trade for. That so if D'Amico maybe likes that Eric Armstead body type, which is not a guarantee that that's what he likes, those are the guys that are out. There's plenty of options at defensive tackle.
There are. If Nick wants one of those two guys, because Newton and Fisk are the two that have been most often mocked in that 42 range by the experts, is he having to make phone calls right now if he wants to get, say, Johnny Newton? Like, is Newton still sitting there at 42?
Okay, here's the thing with Newton. He's 6'1", which, if you're Byron Murphy, they call that natural leverage. If you're Johnny Newton, it's you're
too sitting
short.
There on Friday.
Which is interesting, because I think, honestly, one of my concerns about Byron Murphy, and I like Byron Murphy a lot, but one of my concerns is he loses his feet a good amount. So for a smaller guy that loses his feet in college, I worry about what that's going to be like in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Where Johnny Newton is like has incredible core strength and balance, and is hardly ever off. Even when he's knocked into weird positions, doesn't get knocked off balance. He's just not. He doesn't have the athletic flash and upside. Plus, he was injured last year, so I don't know. Maybe some teams are really skeptical about Johnny Newton. Maybe the medicals. He had a Jones fracture.
Yeah,
and we know Jones fractures can be finicky things. Any kind of foot injury.
Yep.
Because it's a broken bone in your foot, it can end up being way more complicated than you think. So I don't know how much of that factors into it. Johnny Newton might slide maybe way further than people anticipated if it is some kind of medical reservation.
He's on the board at 42 tonight.
I love it. Yeah, yeah. I really like him. I like the way he plays. Like I said, in terms of being ready for the NFL, I actually feel like he's better than Byron Murphy in some respects. Mm-hmm. But I see where the upside is with Byron Murphy. I just like Johnny Newton is a hoss that has an incredible motor and really good strength and balance, and he looks like he likes to physically hurt people.
Sometimes these kids don't have the lust for violence
that you really need and want.
We know D'Amico likes that.
Right. He likes violence.
He picks up waiver wire guys that have already had two priors, like Kareem Jackson. So
one thing I've noticed about defensive tackles over the years, I don't know if this is an internet effect of everybody knowing that they're going to get like torched on social media if they loaf at all. They all have good motors.
Yeah, these guys
I haven't seen a lot
draft.
Of fat, sloppy loads that just don't try hard.
No.
Even Tavondre Sweat, who's a fat, sloppy load in some respects, he tries. Sometimes he anatomically fails because he's too big to carry all that weight. But other than that, but he does try really hard all the time.
That's interesting. It's a byproduct of the age we live in where cameras are everywhere.
Yeah.
Better try.
When I watch these defensive linemen, I'm kind of like, it's really hard for me to hear people bash Gen Z when I watch these guys who are honestly, I can tell on film, they're better dudes than the average defensive line prospect from 20 years ago.
Yep.
Like they're more about it. They play their asses off.
A few more best availables here, and then we'll get to Michael Penix Jr. and that what was the first holy bleep moment of the night last night. Wide receiver Adonai Mitchell is still there.
Yeah.
Ladd McConkey still there. Several others after that, but in my mind, I feel like those are the two best still on the board. There's a run of wide receivers at the very end of the first round.
Yeah, yeah.
Ricky Pearsall went. Boy, C.J. Stroud did not like seeing Ricky Pearsall go off the board.
Didn't know.
We'll get to that at 7 o'clock.
He was really, he went on and on. Which game did he bring up?
Oh, the Missouri game.
He's like, you watched the Missouri game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, sure, of course I watched the Missouri
game.
We'll
have it for you at 7 o'clock, the audio from C.J. Stroud on that. And then our guy, the deep ball. Went at 32 overall.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina lived up to their word and traded up and got Xavier Leggett.
A lot of people were torching the Bills because the Bills, traded back twice.
Spoon-fed Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs.
Right,
thanks
right,
a lot,
yeah.
Bills.
Yeah, I know. That's the ironic part. Now, a lot of people were wondering is, okay, well, are the Bills just kind of loading up and because what they really need is at least one veteran receiver that they really like. Are they just loading up and they'd rather trade for an Ayuk or somebody like that?
That's interesting.
Versus bringing in a rookie and trying to bring him along while the rest of the team's resetting too. If they can pull it off, then that makes sense.
Yeah.
If they can't pull it off, then it's all for naught.
No, then they've just, I mean, we got to see how it plays out. But, yeah, the Bills, I was just angry they facilitated Worthy to the Chiefs the way they did.
Who should be more angry, Kirk Cousins or Josh Allen, in their team's unwillingness to get them help?
Josh Allen, Kirk Cousins shouldn't be mad about anything. He got $180 million with $100 million guaranteed with a recovering Achilles tendon.
But there's the part of him that maybe thought, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go to a place where, and who knows what promises were made in the
free agency
courtship.
Sorry, bro, that's business. Yeah. I don't feel sorry for anybody who has $180 million that he's getting, which I don't know that he fully deserves. You know how I feel about Kirk Cousins.
Just quarterbacks in general.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah, but Kirk Cousins, who has won a playoff game in his career.
Yeah.
Like a playoff game. Or maybe he's been to a playoff game. I don't know.
$90 million guaranteed over the first 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And but so.
One of the knocks on Penix is that he's 25 years old. I feel like that's a little bit ironic because we're talking about, the guy that he will be replacing. Penix could play for the Falcons for 15 more years.
At
that age.
Real quick, for those who don't know what we're talking about, Michael Penix Jr., the Washington quarterback who was a runner-up for the Heisman, who was forecasted to go at best like in the teens, if not towards the end of the first round, maybe even second round, ends up going eighth to the Atlanta Falcons, who spent $180 million, 100 guaranteed, on Kirk Cousins this offseason. And it was wild. I was waiting for the next shoe to drop. I'm like, okay, maybe they're drafting him and they're going to trade him to somebody, or maybe we're going to get a report that Cousins' Achilles isn't fully healed.
Yeah.
None of that. The only report we got about Kirk Cousins is he was completely caught off guard like the rest of us were by this pick. Here's Rich Eisen and Daniel Jeremiah on the NFL Network. Jeremiah had talked to Mike McCartney after this pick. That's Kirk Cousins' agent.
I still can't believe the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. It has nothing to do. I am such a huge fan of that kid. I want nothing but success for him. He is incredible. But they just signed Kirk Cousins to a nine-figure deal.
I just reached out to his agent, Mike McCartney. I'm sure Ian's talked to him as well, but he was not given a heads up. Kirk Cousins was not given really a heads up on this whole thing.
Okay, now let me clarify what I said before about not feeling sorry for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
I generally don't feel sorry for him. In general, you got to deal with it.
Right.
It would, if I were Kirk Cousins, it would give me pause on working with my new employer here. Like, this is really the first kind of fork in the road or inflection point I have with my new employer. And I didn't even get a heads up that this was the thought process.
Yeah.
You know, that would make me very, very skeptical about dealing with upper management.
Where I'm going to take on your role there too, then. I'm not pretending I'm Kirk Cousins. I'm like, all right, listen, Kirk, you are who you are. All right, okay, you're an old man with an Achilles.
Yeah.
We just, this all happened, it came together very quickly. We weren't sure Penix was going to be available. Sorry we didn't protect your tender little feelings by giving you a call to tell you something that you were going to find out in 3 minutes anyway. Did you think we were going to change if you protested, you stupid old man?
Yeah.
That's not me talking.
Right.
That's Arthur Blank.
Right. Oh, yeah, because he seems like someone who would go off like that. Arthur Blank. I wonder if Kirk Cousins openly, accidentally talking about them tampering with him made them kind of look around and go, all right, we may need to get a plan B here.
We've got a lot of skeletons in these closets here. We can't trust him. Penix seems like he knows when to keep his mouth shut.
Independent of Kirk Cousins, I don't know what Atlanta's doing. Like that, I would have loved to have seen Eisen's reaction because that deserves a trademarked, what is up with that?
It's a little bit of, you know what it feels like? It feels like you're trying to be a little too clever. It's like you're trying to have this grand plan of how everything's going to work out without taking care of the problem numero uno, which is let's have a winning football season.
Right.
Let's have a winning team over the next couple of years. They're planning for how to sustain a stretch of success that they haven't actually yet achieved yet.
They haven't, but they're favored to win the division, to your point. You know, they're favored to win. With Kirk Cousins, they went from just in the pack there to favored, granted a bad division, but favored to win that division. when you see teams like I saw people comparing this to the Packers with Aaron Rodgers a few years back, and then several years back, and then Jordan Love a few years back. That yeah. hey, sometimes teams draft their guy and they're going to sit him there for a couple years because they know that the guy they have is kind of winding down. The Packers did that when they were good and picking in the 20s.
Yeah.
This is the eighth overall pick where you've got Roma Dunze on the board. Instead of finding Kirk Cousins' replacement, who, by the way, is older than, as you pointed out, older than the normal quarterback. And we haven't mentioned this, two ACLs and two shoulder surgeries as well.
Two ACLs, it's in the same right knee.
Right.
According to the graphic last night, I didn't realize. I thought it was opposite knees, but it was the same right knee.
Yeah,
which is a big deal.
It's crazy. But you don't do it with the eighth pick.
Not as plant, you know, because he's. But anyway, No. This is like if you're building a house and you're stretched out, you're like, and you're trying like hell to stay under budget, and you come home one day and your wife's like, I just put a deposit on a pool because I felt like this was the time. We're like, well, pool.
Penix is a pool.
Yep. No. We got to get the house built
That's
first.
It, man.
It's not time for the Penix pool.
That's right.
You're obsessed with Penix.
Okay. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday, day two of the draft. Let's get to headlines. We will get to headlines in the draft. We've not talked about the Astros yet. Why? Because the Astros right now are not really worth talking about. They lost again yesterday. They're on their way to Mexico today. We'll get you up to speed on the Astros and a whole lot more in headlines. That is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
And Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to it. The draft last night. We'll get into this. We'll be deep on the draft today all day long here at Sports Radio 610, including coverage of day two of the draft starting at 6 o'clock tonight. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, Seth Payne on the coverage for you here on Sports Radio 610. Looking forward to seeing everybody out at the big party downtown. Texans still, as we wake up, sitting at pick 42, 59, and 86 overall going into tonight. So 3 picks going into tonight. A slew of really good targets still on the board. If you're wondering, just, hey, sum it up for me. The Texans didn't pick last night, but how did it play out if you're a Texan fan as we sit here on the morning of day two? I would say it would be hard to come up with a scenario that played out any better with the Texans having not taken a pick. If they were trying to trade up and get somebody, they were unsuccessful doing that. But from what we can see and what we know, Seth, 23 offensive players taken in the first round of the draft, only 9 defensive players, and the Texans are much more in the market, in my opinion, for defensive players than they are most of the guys who got picked last night in the first round.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the combination of wide receivers, offensive linemen, offensive tackle specifically, even though a couple interior guys did get taken. Yeah. One of them, not Cooper, Cooper Div, what's his face? The center from the. I'm stuck, never mind.
I know,
because I was about to say Cooper DeGene, but I was talking about the center from Oregon.
Yeah.
The
kid with 3 names.
So
yeah.
the big lesson of the offensive linemen, the wide receivers, and the quarterbacks being so heavily dominating in the in the first round is that, yeah, it did push a lot of defensive talent, including just a boatload of defensive tackles, one of whom, Johnny Newton, a lot of people expected to go in the first round. There's a boatload of defensive tackles available, I think, likely in the second and third rounds that I would be cool with the Texans taking. There's about eight. It's about eight defensive tackles right now that I think would be good, worthwhile gambles as a second or third round pick.
If you had to blindly say right now, don't give me a name, just give me a position. What position goes off the board first for the Texans tonight?
I think defensive back.
You think they take a corner?
First. Yeah,
corner,
I think there's fewer, even with Cooper DeJean falling into the second round, there's fewer of those available than there are defensive tackles.
Yep.
Now, Edgerrin Cooper's out there, too.
So, linebacker A&M.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think, like, there's a reason he didn't go in the first round more than just being an off-ball linebacker. But I could see D'Amico being really intrigued by him. But mm-hmm. I think that might be later second round or third round.
Should be fun, man. Yeah. Should be a whole lot of fun tonight. As far as other stories with the draft, so that's where we are with the Texans. I think it played out just fine for the Texans. I think they're in a really good spot going into night two here. I would say probably the biggest story, Seth, as far as just like a trend in this draft, not just the heavy skewing towards offensive players, but a record number of quarterbacks taken in the top 12 picks. Six quarterbacks taken in the top 12, including the top three, who all went in the order that I think ultimately was forecasted the most, which was Caleb Williams to the Bears, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders, Drake May to the Patriots. The first surprise quarterback-wise probably came with Michael Penix Jr., not only going ahead of J.J. McCarthy, but going to the Falcons, who just spent nearly $200 million on a quarterback in Kirk Cousins. McCarthy goes to the Vikings at 10, so the Vikings do get their guy, and they don't have to give up the 23rd pick in the process. They just had to move up one spot from 11 to 10, so that worked out great for the Vikings. And then the top 12 rounded out by Bo Nix going to Denver and Sean Payton, who I was reading a lot of. This was the guy Sean Payton wanted all along.
Yeah, it worked out just perfect. You wouldn't have wanted anybody but Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Bo Nix is the biggest thing that I heard. I heard this pre-draft from a couple different smart dudes who, including the QB school guy, JT O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
You know, JT O'Sullivan, if I can paraphrase what he said, was it sounded basically like he's heard stories about what it's like to play for Sean Payton. And having a guy like Bo Nix, whose dad was a coach and who's been around forever, and that might be the best personality fit.
Yeah.
Like, at least Bo Nix, you got to have a thick skin to play for Sean Payton.
Yeah.
So that might be as part of it. Is how much abuse are you willing to take?
I said this to you last night when Bo Nix got taken at 12. I'm like, if someone had told me watching Bo Nix at Auburn that he would be the 12th pick in the draft someday, let alone drafted in the first 2 days of the draft, let alone the top 12 picks, I would have said you're crazy. But man, that Oregon system.
There's a lot of value in sticking around for a long time.
Well, and finding a place that has an offensive system that fits you, too.
A system that fits you, and then also, honestly, if you want to talk about development, because look at Jaden Daniels, and kind of like Joe Burrow. When Joe Burrow transferred to LSU, there was nobody that really thought, you know, he was going to be anything.
Right.
You know, and Jaden Daniels, he got to LSU and he started working with a simulator last year, the virtual reality stuff. And that just kind of supercharged his development.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But also, I think he made, just like Joe Burrow made some mechanical improvements, he just came into his own and just played well enough. That, I mean, if it weren't for being so slender, I did not like seeing him in street clothes.
No.
I don't like seeing him in street clothes, man. He looked like, talk about a quarterback. They were talking about how Caleb Williams was like having Prince as your quarterback. Physiologically, I felt like Jaden Daniels is a little bit like that. It looks slender hips.
It's like having Chris Sale as your quarterback.
It's like a matador.
Yeah.
You know, like with the shoulder pads, but then like this slender physique.
Yeah.
Out. Except unlike a matador, he doesn't stay out of harm's way.
No.
He thinks he can take on the bull.
He seeks out the bull.
Yeah, with that slender prince-like physique. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, man. I am not high on this quarterback class, but by God, the NFL, at least those six teams that took those guys last night, are high on him. Let's get to the Astros. We'll circle back to the draft at the top of the hour. The Astros lose again last night. They got swept by the Cubs. By my
yesterday
count,
afternoon. Yeah.
Yesterday afternoon. By my count, this is the fourth sweep of the year that the Astros have suffered.
That's pretty good.
That was as many as they had all of last season.
It's like, at least you had a... But the awesome part about this one was...
They got him out of the way, I guess.
Yeah, they got him out of the way early.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see Verlander back and dealing, but then also throwing a hissy fit about getting taken out early because they... Because in his mind, I'm guessing that in his mind, he's thinking, oh, I need... How many starts does he need to trigger his option?
He needs 140 innings.
140 innings. Yeah. 140 innings.
Oh, that I didn't even think of that. That may be why he was mad he got taken out.
I mean, his pitch count was running. Throw fewer pitches. Yeah. You don't want to get taken out early.
95 pitches.
You're an old man coming off of an injury on a team that's just been destroyed by injuries. At some point, rely on this offense.
They lose 3-1 yesterday. I guess the most noteworthy thing yesterday, Joe Espada got his first ejection as the Astros manager. Here's what it sounded like.
Important in the high altitude, Joe Espada's going to get tossed. Seemed rather calm coming out of the dugout, but Jansen Visconti was the one who was upset. He was the one doing the yelling. Joe just kind of calmly walked out there. I think Joe's seen enough in this stretch of losing 7 out of 8 games.
Okay, the only way that possibly that was badass at all is if he went out there and he just kind of under his breath said, "Tu madre." That's why he flipped out or something.
I would love to know what he did say because Todd Callis is like, Joe Espada looked calm coming out of the dugout. He looked calm as he was getting ejected.
Yeah.
He looked like he was politely asking to get ejected. Could you please throw me out right now? I'm tired of watching your strikes.
Like, if you're going to ask to get ejected, you gotta commit to the role.
Gesticulate and
have some respect for the game.
Yeah, kick some dirt on him.
You know, like Dusty last year with his silent protest sit-in when he staged a sit-in. He took it back to the '60s. He staged it. When was that? Oh, that was at Game 5, right? When he had the sit-in in the dugout?
Yeah, I don't remember what game it was.
He got kicked out and he refused to leave.
That was when
Espada ended up winning the job.
Oh, because the game five, it was Game 5 of the Rangers series.
Yeah, because he inserted Singleton. And
he pinch hit two guys. I can't remember who the other one was.
Yeah, so that was it all goes back to then.
Here we sit, 7-19 with Joe Espada as the manager. Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of Dusty, this is the last thing on headlines. He won the Lifetime Achievement Award from Baseball Digest yesterday. So congratulations to Big Dust. We miss you, Big Dust. JP France back to Sugarland, by the way, to make room for Framber Valdez, who will be starting on Sunday. So Framber's coming back. We're reaching the point where it's getting to be a little too late for, oh, so-and-so's coming back. This guy's coming back. That guy's coming. They're 7-19 now. Wow. All right. Top of the hour coming up here. CJ Stroud was on an alternative feed for draft coverage last night for Bleacher Report with Micah Parsons and Adam Lefkoe. And CJ was pretty straightforward and calm throughout. He reacted huge when he saw a receiver go off the board. This was clearly a guy that C.J. Stroud wanted for the Houston Texans. We will tell you who it was. Well, let's hear from C.J. and who he compares this receiver to. That's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.